If you take even a quick look at Joe LaBarbera's biography, you'll discover a life that's been driven and enlightened by the love of jazz. From Bill Evans and Tony Bennett to Buddy Rich, Bud Shank, Chuck Mangione, and hundreds of others, LaBarbera has played with some of the most legendary musicians of all time. When I asked Joe if he ever had to work a square job in his life, he could only think of one. You can still hear the New Yorker in Joe's radio-friendly voice, but he's been enjoying the West Coast life for almost 30 years and teaching jazz history at the California Institute of the Arts. He's still an in-demand session drummer known for versatility and sensitivity. Those are skills that Joe will be demonstrating next week in Tucson when he appears with an all-star lineup called the Jazz Legends. When I saw his name on the band's roster, I knew I had to talk to him about his career and some of the amazing places that it's taken him.
Well, my name's Joe LaBarbera, and I play the drums. That's what I tell all my friends, you know, people that I meet for the first time. And I mean, it's a simple statement, but that's what I do. You know, that is what I've always done.
I mentioned to a friend of mine that I was going to be talking to you today, and he said, oh, drummers, he says, they're the offensive linemen of jazz, he said. he says they're absolutely necessary, but so many of them, people never know their names. So what's your observation on that?
If you ask Dizzy Gillespie, he'd take a completely different point of view. To him, the drums were the whole game. I mean, for jazz, drums are probably the most important instrument because the rhythm is what separates this music truly from other art forms.
Well, you say that drums have always been there for you. How did your family influence you into music?
Well, when we spoke earlier, Mark, you mentioned that you noticed that my brothers were horn players and that I was a drummer, and you thought maybe I'd be the odd man out. But the truth is, it was by design. You know, my father always had a vision of having a family band because he had been a band leader for decades, you know, in the 20s and 30s and 40s. And, you know, I think he just figured, like a lot of people do, if I ever get a family, you know, I'm going to make it my mission to teach them this music and make a family band. Who knows? Maybe it was because of all the headaches that hiring, you know, non-family members, you know, with your own kids, you can at least crack the whip and say, hey, you know what? We got a gig. Be there. So,
what was it that first felt right about playing the drums to you? I mean, can you think back and know what it was that made you think, yeah, this is what I want to do?
Well, I don't really know that I ever had that feeling. I can still remember the moment my father took me into the basement where the instruments were and showed me the drum set, and I was hooked right away. He sat me down behind the drums and showed me how to hold the sticks, and we got started. He also taught me how to play the clarinet and the saxophone, which I played all through grade school and high school as well, but the drums, I think, always had my complete attention.
Well, outside of the family, what do you consider to be, when you look back, your first real professional gig as a jazz artist?
Well, as a jazz musician, I think maybe my first professional gig was in Buffalo, New York, in the summer of 66. I was I just graduated high school, and we used to go and hear the local players in Rochester and Buffalo, wherever, you know, we could drive to. And there was a musician there, he's still around, a wonderful trumpet player named Sam Noto. And he had a quintet, and I sat in a couple of times, and they found themselves in need of a sub for a couple of weeks. And so I got hired to play with these. I mean, they were way out of my league, but I got to play with these guys for that summer, and that was an amazing experience. That was probably my first professional jazz experience.
Probably one of the most famous things in your discography is your work with Bill Evans. And for our listeners who maybe aren't big jazz fans, can you describe a few of the qualities that you think made Bill Evans stand out?
Complete command of the instrument. I mean, the man could play the piano as well and better than almost anybody. I mean, his level of technical skill goes way beyond even what he displays. You know, when I play some recordings that Bill did earlier, people are amazed by how much chops he had. You know, that's number one. But the other thing that I think a couple of other things that are most important is that he always was playing from an emotional perspective. So it was always about the feeling of the music, always. And there was a complete absence of ego. This guy put the music first, and he was one of the recognized giants of the music. but he never put himself above the music. It was always the music first. So the feeling you got on stage was that we were all serving the music, so nobody was the boss, per se. It was just that he was the lead voice. But I would say those three characteristics, his ability, his emotional perspective to the music, and absence of ego.
In that kind of collaborative environment, though, what did you think that Bill Evans really wanted or needed from you as a drummer?
I'd been listening to Bill since probably 1961 or 62, so even as a kid, I had a perception of him that really went back to his roots, which were kind of bebop, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that when I joined him, I would change things a little bit by bringing more of that element back into the music, not to force him into a direction, but just to tap into that natural reserve of rhythmic, you know, swing and pulse that he had. And I think it worked out.
I think that's an understatement, Joe. Drummers typically use sticks or brushes or maybe mallets when they're behind the kit. What did you find you used most when playing with Bill?
Well, let me back that up a little bit, Mark, because in regards to the family band and jobs that I did with other older musicians when I was a kid, I played brushes 90% of the time on jobs and sticks maybe 10%, maybe 15%. I can still remember my father putting the brushes in my hand and having me play double stroke rolls with the brushes to develop a feel and a control with those. So they've always been a big part of my, you know, my arsenal. And when I was at college, Herb Pomeroy commented on the way I played the brushes. And right along, people always commented about the brush playing, which, you know, as a teenager, you're kind of bugged because you want to be flashy and you want people to notice your stick playing. But it's always been something that I think has stuck out in my playing. I love the brushes. I think it's a fantastic form of expression on the drum set. So I go to the brushes as often as the sticks in my own band and when I'm playing with others. But it just depends on what the music is calling for.
There's a phrase some people use to describe a certain style of brush playing called stirring the pot.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you say that means to you? If somebody, if a band leader asks you to give him that on a tune, what are you going to do?
Well, what they're actually asking you for is to be active. You know, when you're stirring that pot, you're making some motion. You're not just wallpaper back there. So when you're stirring the soup, you're getting things going.
If you get called to go play a show and they say, oh, we've got a drum kit here, don't worry about it, what are you going to bring with you anyway?
And that happens all the time. As a touring jazz drummer, you ask any of the cats out there, that's about as much as you can bring. You know, you can bring a snare drum if you want, but honestly, I can make a drum sound okay as long as what I'm given to work with is of decent quality. It doesn't have to be a specific, you know, brand or a specific vintage or whatever. I have played Gretsch drums my whole life, but I mean, I end up playing a lot of different brands of drums everywhere I go, and your sound is your sound. I mean, think about a piano. How many people sit down to the same piano and it still sounds like that individual? So the drums are pretty much the same way.
Do you know a book from, you may have participated in this, The Big Beat, many years ago, that Max Weinberg wrote this book?
No, I don't know it.
Oh, he went and interviewed a bunch of drummers. A lot of them, mm-hmm, were from the rock world, like Hal Blaine. And I'm here to listen to you. I'm not here to tell you stories. But there's a quick one with Charlie Watts where he had to play on Ginger Baker's kit, and he was mortified because he couldn't get any sound out of it, and
mm-hmm,
all the drums were level, and his drums are always very canted. You know, he likes, mm-hmm, his angles, and so,
yeah,
he felt like he kept hitting the rims, and he just, oh man! And after the show, he was fully expecting to be dressed down by the other guys in the band, and Keith Richards apparently said, "I don't know what you're on tonight, man, but it's great. Like, that was the best I've ever heard you."
That's great. A lot of times we don't realize that if we're forced out of our comfort zone, that something good's going to happen.
When do you think you're happiest behind the drums?
When everybody's listening. All I require of anybody on the bandstand is that they're listening and doing their best. That's when I'm happy. That's all I need.
Joe LaBarbera's drums are the driving force behind the Jazz Legends Tour, also featuring Ricky Woodard, Byron Stripling, and Kenny Drew Jr. They'll be playing a benefit concert next Friday, October 18th, at the Tucson Country Club.
And there's a link for more information on the Arizona Spotlight page at azpm.org.